Number 23, the Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. For Thou art with me. And Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You may be seated. Heavenly Father, I thank You tonight, God, for Thy presence. I thank You, God, for being with us all day long today. I thank You, God, for the sweet move this morning. And I pray, God, now that as we open Your Word, I pray, God, You'd magnify the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, You'd help us, God, to dive into Your Word and let it to dive into us. And God, change us eternally through the Word of God. Lord, I must admit, God, that if I do this by myself, nothing will get done. I pray, God, that the Spirit of the living God would take over in this place and do what only He can do. And Lord, You know my heart. I'll give You every ounce to go. Lord, I want to say I thank You for this man of God. I thank You for this church. I thank You for this family. I pray, God, Lord, that You would bless them and increase them and encourage them here tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said. Psalm 23 is a very familiar passage. I don't even have to read it. Most of you have it memorized to heart. But it is Psalm 23 that lets you and I know as believers in the local New Testament church to let us know that we are not in this life by ourselves. What a comfort to know that we have a shepherd and we are the sheep. It is Psalm chapter number 23 that lets us know that there are things that happen in life that are because the shepherd leads us to those places. It lets us know that we are glad that the shepherd knows what's best for you and I. It is that the shepherd knows where we're going before we get there, and that the shepherd is ultimately in control of everything that happens in our lives. My pastor's father, Ralph Sexton Sr., had a line that we quote around the church. It is that God's sovereignty is my sanity. To know that God sees further than I can see, and to know that God knows more than I know, and to know that I may get in a mess today, but to know that God has already been there and is clearing the way for me. It is in verse number 3 that something that caught my eye, where the Bible says, "He restoreth my soul." You do not restore something that is working. You do not restore something that is in mint condition. You restore something when it has been broken down. And I believe there's something we can learn in the process of shepherding sheep about restoring souls. It takes my mind to Psalm chapter number 42, where the psalmist said in verse number 5, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast." I want you to underline that word cast. "My soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee." I was reading this text, and as I was reading it, I began to study this, and I went and I saw an article about something, and it directed me to a book called A Shepherd's View of Psalm chapter number 23. And as I read this, I found a correlation between Psalm 42 and Psalm 23. And it is of the shepherd talking about a rare condition that sheep wind up in. And it is, some of you may have grown up on a farm and know where I'm headed with this But it is a situation that a sheep find themselves in called a cast sheep or a cast down sheep. The basic terminology is an old English word that lets us know that these sheep have the ability, because their arms are so short and their bodies are so heavy, that a sheep can wind up rolling over. And if a sheep gets on its back, this back can become paralyzed on its back and have no way at all to get up on its own. These sheep can wind up on their back, get down, I mean all the way down. They say much of it is to do because a sheep is made up of nearly 60-some percent of fluid. And beyond that, the intestinal system of a sheep, the way it's built, once these sheep wind up on its back, the fluid will move back. And if you Google it tonight and look at a cast sheep, you'll find a sheep with all fours stretched straight up in the air. And they say that it is a cast sheep. And they say that when a sheep becomes cast, it is a very fatal position, because unless the shepherd comes and finds the sheep very quickly, these sheep are vulnerable to predators. They are vulnerable to its intestinal system backing up. And they say when a sheep becomes cast, it is within hours it will die unless the shepherd comes and finds it. Could I say, I know something about being cast? Have you ever seen somebody, or have you ever been in a position where for one reason or another you got down? You got down so low that maybe your family said, get up. Get up. You ever been so depressed and had somebody say, snap out of it? You ever been fighting the cares of this world so much and say, hey, take a happy pill and get over it? And you wanted to, but you couldn't get up if you wanted to. I want to explore this subject. Number one, sheep can become cast. Number one, I'm not a farmer. Please don't think I don't have a clue hardly about what I'm talking about tonight. But I've got a friend in Mississippi that has a farm with sheep all over, and every information I'm giving you either came out of that book or from that farmer. So number one, he said that a sheep can become cast by living in a place of comfort. Said these sheep, he said, Brother CT, these sheep, they love to do one thing. They like to eat, 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 regurgitate it, and eat it again. Ain't that nasty? I mean, come on. And then he said, they like to eat. He said, and a sheep has the same thing that a human has on Thanksgiving. How many of y'all love Thanksgiving? I mean, somebody else shout out. I mean, one thing I look forward to Thanksgiving more than I look forward to Christmas. I mean, I get ready the night before. Becky's making deviled eggs, and I'm out there getting my oil ready to fry that turkey. Hey, amen right there. I mean, fry, you may not go to heaven if you bake a turkey. You got to fry that thing. We get all that stuff together. I mean, we spread the table out. We put the taters and gravy. We put the sweet tater casserole. I mean, we put the sweet, all that stuff out there, and we eat, me and Becky. His daddy, I mean, we eat, we gorge ourselves. It's the one day and the one week we ain't gonna preach on gluttony. We ain't gonna talk about none of that stuff. We just gonna eat. And there's something biologically, they say that once your belly gets full, all the blood from the rest of your body runs to your digestive system, and it puts us in a comatose state. And what do we like to do after we go eat? We like to go lay down somewhere. A guy told me, he said, preacher, a sheep's the same way. He said, them sheep will gorge themselves in the field, and then they go look for a place to lay down. He said, and that's all good and well. They need rest. He said, but if a sheep lays down too long, that fluid will begin to shift and move to its back. The gases on the inside pushes it, and when the sheep doesn't even know it, it begins to slowly roll. And just by living in a place of comfort too long, that sheep will wind up in a place where it will die quickly, just simply by living in a place of comfort. Could I say a very dangerous place to be is living in a place of comfort? Could I say one of the most dangerous things I've ever seen is somebody that gets saved and surrenders to God and gives their heart to Jesus and then for one reason or another decides that they're not going to go all the way for God. They're going to go halfway. They're not going to give it all to God. They're going to give half their life. And in that place of comfort, I have found that many disasters happen because it is inside of a place of comfort where predators are easy to find you. And it's easy to wind up on your back and end out of church. Number two, I found that these sheep can become cast down by just living and dwelling amongst the other sheep. They say these sheep are a very anxious animal. And these sheep could, on a moment's notice, get spooked. And they said very often when they get spooked, one of the sheep will get kicked over. And by one sheep, another sheep can become hurt, knocked down, and cast. How many of you know what it's like to be hurt by other people? How many know what it's like to be in church and somebody say and get hurt and knocked down and become cast of nothing you did wrong, but what somebody else did to you? In my life, I like to talk to people at restaurants. I like to witness to people when we go around and ask them what their church background is. And a huge percentage of the people I talk to, one of the things they always run to is they'll say, well, I used to go to church and all. Well, I used to be a part of this and all. And then they'll go back to maybe 10 years ago or 15 years ago of something that happened to them and something that happened to their family. And they get hurt in church. How many know that sometimes people, especially church people, can sometimes be the meanest people you've ever met? That's not the majority, but sometimes there are people that will hurt you. There are people that are jealous driven. There are people that are backbiters. There are people that are living by the flesh. And if you're not careful, you will get hurt by people. But listen to me, to think that you're going to live this life and live for God and surrender for God and go all the way for God and nobody say something about you and nobody do nothing to you and nobody talk about your family and nobody go out there, that people will forgive you for anything but being successful, and for you to think that you're going to live this life and nobody ever hurt you, you are setting yourself up for disaster. You're setting yourself up for disappointment. What I've learned, that if you're going to live this life, you've got to understand that you did not start this for another person. You did not get in this for another person, and you sure ain't going to get out of this for another person. Ain't nobody going to talk you out. You got to have a lot of no quitting. You got to have a lot of a backbone and say, it hurts me. I don't like it. I was telling the preacher today, one of my problems is I care way too much about what people think. If somebody don't like what I'm doing, I'm sorry. I mean, that's in me. But to live this life and not get hurt, you've got to decide, I got in this for Jesus. I'm staying in this for Jesus. I ain't giving up. I ain't quitting. I will march on for the glory of God. In this thing, you get kicked. And if you're not careful, you'll go down. And if you stay down, you'll die. Me and preacher share a common bond, as many of you do. I am an avid deer hunter. I love it. Becky gets on me because from January 1st to October 1st, I preach every night somewhere. But for some reason, Becky always asked me, after October 1st, why ain't you preaching somewhere? I said, I don't know, honey. I can't get nobody to call me. I don't know what's wrong. I don't understand it. And I love it. It's the only thing that makes I don't golf. I like to fish, but it ain't my thing. But I love chasing that big old buck. We was living in Augusta a couple years ago, and I had me a good place. I'd killed tons of deer there. And this year, for some reason, I hadn't seen one deer. And I got plumb aggravated one morning. I woke up and I said, if it's brown, it's down. Whack them, stack them, do whatever. I'm going to shoot something today. I got up in my tree. It was early, brisk, cold that morning. Am I talking to you yet? Some of y'all woke up and just, you're listening now. And I woke up and sure enough, about 8:30, Into that food plot come three deer. I didn't look through my binoculars. I didn't scope them out. I threw my rifle up on the edge, picked out the biggest one out of the group, and laid it down. When I kill a deer, I turn into Tarzan. I'm up in my tree. I'm just having myself a time. I looked up from there, and I was all excited, and I finally looked down there and made sure it was laying. I went to get out of my tree, and all the other deer ran off when I shot that one, and I got down. And I noticed while I was waiting to climb down, I heard the other deer come back to the field. And I looked. Y'all, some of y'all are going to think I'm a bad person. Please forgive me. I looked, and here these two little deer come back into the field. Two little babies. And I realized I done killed their mama. I would love to tell y'all that I was Tarzan at that moment, but I wasn't. I was turning soft quick. I was like, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to do this. Maybe I need to kill another one so I quit being so soft. I don't know what I need to do. Maybe I need to go rip its heart out or something so I'd be more manly. I was feeling soft at the moment. I yelled at them deer. I said, you got to go on. I said, go on. And them deer just looked at me. And them little deer would reach their nose down and nudge your mama. And I thought, Lord God, I'm just going to die. Finally, I got down. When I walked towards them, they run off. I got the four-wheeler loaded up, took the deer to the processor. And all day long, I walked around like this. All I could think about is them little deer walking through the woods all by themselves. Still this day, I have a complex wondering where them deer are. If I feel like I should have adopted them and fed them myself or something, you know. And I got home, and usually Becky, she knows if my truck was home on a Saturday by lunch, she knew I got one. She'd come in that day, and she said, did you get one? I said, I don't want to talk about it. I was reading this and studying this, and I couldn't help but think about them little deer nudging that mama. Say, mama, you got to get up. Mama, you got to get up. You can't die here, mama. We need you. And I couldn't help but think about the countless children in churches all across our place who say, mama, you can't stay mad at the preacher. You got to get up. Mama, you can't stay mad. You can't keep this spirit, Mom. Daddy, you got to get up. You can't get me. You can't stay mad. You can't just get out of church, Daddy. You got to get up. And there's children all across our country whose families are dying spiritually because, yes, they got hurt by somebody else, but you can't die here. You can't lay down here too long. If you stay down here, your kids are at risk. If you stay down here, your family will have nothing. And you've got to have a resolve. There have been plenty of times that I've looked in the mirror and said, it's enough, I'll quit. It's enough, I'll get up. But I look in the eyes of little Tucker, and I look in the eyes of little Siler, and I think, what will they have? If Daddy lays down, what will they have? If Daddy gives up now, I tell you what, there's a resolve in me that if for no other reason but for my little boys, I'm going to charge on. I'm going to walk on. I'm going to serve God. If for no other reason but for my babies and for my family. Let me ask you this. If you don't pray for your family, who's going to? If you don't build a hedge for your babies, who's going to build that hedge? If you don't pray for them boys, who will? You've got to get up. You can't stay down. Sheep can become cast by comfort. They become cast by getting knocked over by other sheep. They can become cast because they say that a sheep has a deep desire to always look for a greener pasture. Said that shepherd could lead those sheep to the most pretty green pasture. And those sheep could be enjoying that green pasture. But instead of enjoying the green pasture where they are, they can't do nothing but look out and wonder if there's a greener pasture around them to eat in. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. How many would agree that same desire is embedded into each and every single one of you. God's blessed you with a good home, but you can't help but look at a better home. God's give you a good family, but all you can do is let the devil talk to you about what you deserve more. And God's give you a good this or good that. And instead of enjoying what we have, and instead of looking at our family and looking at what we do have, we look at what could be better. That's why I like the season of Thanksgiving, because it makes us quit looking at what we don't have and say, God, I'm not going to talk to you about what I don't have, but God, I want to thank you for what I do have. I've learned this, that the grass may be greener on the other side, but that's probably because there's a septic tank under the grass. Can I get an amen right there? I've learned this, that you and I ought to be thankful for what God's given you. You and I ought to look every single day at the faces that God's put in your life and look at the job God's given you. Look at the family God's given you and say, Lord, I must admit I didn't deserve what you gave me, and I sure don't deserve what I'm desiring. So Lord, I just want to thank you and praise you for what you've already given me. I want to thank you for my wife. I want to thank you for my kids. I want to thank you for my preacher. I want to thank you for my home. I want to thank you for my job. Do you see what that does? The devil wants you to think about what you don't have, but God said if you'll just think about what you do have, there's something powerful when you go to thanking God and when you go to praising God for what you do have. Quit looking at that greener pasture. Sheep can become cast by looking at a greener pasture. Lastly, they say that the sheep's wool, a sheep's wool can become so full, number one, that it grabs everything it walks by, every leaf, every branch. And they say, combined with the sheer weight of its wool and the trash that gets attached to its wool, that unless the shepherd shears the sheep, that wool can become so heavy that every step is meticulously taken because that sheep's so top-heavy that any wrong step, he knows he'll fall. And with that weight on its back, he would not be able to get up if he becomes cast. Number one, this speaks of our sin nature. You study the Old Testament and you'll find where wool is a type of flesh and it's a type of sin. The high priest could not enter in. He would die on the spot if he had any wool whatsoever, because that wool speaks of our carnal nature, it speaks of our sin nature, and it speaks of our flesh. And number one, we can apply this and say that you can't play with sin and win. You can't live with the weight of the world and the weight of our sin upon us. And I'm telling you, we've seen it. You've seen it where people thought, I'm stronger than other people. I can handle more sin than my people. I know it's messed them up, and I know it's messed them up, but I'm smarter and I'm stronger. I can handle more. I can live how I want to live. I can be what I want to be. I can do what I want to do. But for that sin nature, honey, it will wear you out. It will wear you down. And before you know it, the very thing that you thought you controlled, it controls you. It stores your identity. It takes away your joy. It takes away your peace. And before you know it, you'll be on the rugged edge of disaster on your back with no hope. Hope and no help away from the shepherd. I see the sin nature. Look here, I also see this wool being a picture of pressure. Of pressure. This sheep's living and working and walking, and there is an immense amount of pressure upon this sheep. How many have learned that this life is full of pressure? This life is full of external pressure. The Bible says the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And for us to understand that this life is full of pressure and it is designed to wind you up on your back. Life is full of pressure. And if you're not careful, that pressure and the weight of that wool of everyday life gets so heavy that people give up and they quit and they wind up on their back, and now they're in a place where they could not get up if they wanted to. Several years ago, Becky's mama, she was a saint of a lady, worked at the church there where Becky's from, where I met Becky. Her dad was assistant pastor, and one day Becky's mama coughed. A week later, they diagnosed her with pneumonia. 2 days later, they said it's cancer. And just a few days after that, in an instant, within weeks, we stood beside a graveside burying her mother. Cancer had took her out like that. I'll not go into the details, but devastation is an understatement. And over those weeks, it was like it all happened in a flash. I mean, just emotions and feelings and all the grief and all the agony. And I watched my wife go into the deepest, darkest season of heaviness and depression I've ever seen anybody walk through. There was moments during those days that I did not even recognize who she was. It's like the Becky I knew had dissipated into the background, and this grief-stricken person came to the forefront. I prayed for her. As a husband, I thought I need to have the right words, and I couldn't come up with the words. I thought I need to take her to hear the right man of God. I need to take her to hear the right preacher that can preach the right sermon and unlock my wife's heart and let her start healing. But some situations are so dark that no man can fix it. I don't even remember how long it was. I know it was over a year or two. That we walked through that, and Becky wouldn't sing. She didn't want to go to church. She was walking through a darkness. We sent her to counselors, and that wouldn't help. They tried antidepressants, and that wouldn't help. And just a complete darkness. And on top of that, the devil kicking while we were down the whole entire time. I remembered, I told her, I said, honey, I'll travel by myself. If you want to come with me, you come with me. If you want to stay home, it's up to you. I don't want to put any pressure on you. Just do what you want to do, and we'll see over time. God's going to... Some things you never get over, you just get through. I said, honey, we'll just try our best to get through this and survive one day at a time. One day I was headed off to meeting to go preach, and her daddy called me. He said, CT, I woke up this morning and God has put a verse on my heart for Becky. I said, that'd be great, Brother Steve. I said, if you'd like to go see her, you go see her, and that'd be wonderful. In my mind, I thought it ain't going to help none, but you, I said, if nothing else, your daughter, I'm sure she'd like to see you. A few hours later, Becky called and she said, hey, I think Daddy's stopping by. And I said, okay. I said, I'll see you tonight when I get home. And I drove 3 or 4 hours North Carolina preaching. I was driving back right at night. I didn't want to leave her alone. And I got back late that night. And I opened the little door to that trailer we was living in. And I walked through the door, and usually she'd be fast asleep. And I looked through the corner there, and there the lights was on in our bedroom. And I kind of peeked around the door. I was trying to be quiet. And I looked through the door, and there's a million snot rags laying all over our bed. Y'all know what snot rags are, don't you? And I look, and Becky's wide awake. I look beside her, and there's a Bible and tissues and tears running down Becky's eyes. I said, Becky, are you all right? She said, yeah, I've been waiting up to talk to you. She said, I want you to come sit down and let me tell you what happened tonight. She said, Daddy come to the house and said, God told him to come tell me a Bible verse. She said, so we sat down and we small talked for a while and we ate some food and said, finally, Daddy started weeping and said, honey, God wants me to tell you something. She said, what is it, Daddy? So he turned in his Bible and began to read this verse that says, in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Said, and he looked up at me and says, it's the will of God that in the middle of this I give thanks. She said, CT, I got so angry. She said, I looked at Daddy and she said, I yelled at him and said, Daddy, if you think God wants me to thank Him for taking my mama, I can't do that. I can't thank God for taking my mama. I can't and I won't. And then he looked at me and said, honey, that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say for all things give thanks. It says in all things give thanks. She said, I sat there and thought I can't do it. She said, I sat there and looked at my daddy and said, if I say it, it's a lie. I can't do it, Daddy. Said finally, after seemingly a long time went by, her daddy got down in that little place in our house and says, honey, I'm going to start praying. Said, and if I got to pray all night, I'm going to pray all night. But as soon as you feel like you can muster up the strength to get in on this prayer, you move in and daddy will move out. She said her daddy got on her knees and started praying. She said inside, did you know there's a demonic possession to this stuff right here? She said, on the inside I was so angry and there was a tightness over my spirit that said, I'm not going to do this. You can pray all night long. I'm not going to thank God for this. She said, but something happened while Daddy began to pray. She said, as my father began to pray, as the Spirit of God moved into that house and the presence of God moved into that home, she said, I hadn't felt that moving on the inside of my spirit in a very long time. And she said, after about 30 minutes of my daddy praying, she said, God told me what to say. She said, and with the strength I had, this is what she told me. She said, Lord, thank you for the 21 years I had to spend with my mama. Not thanking Him for this or that, but in the middle finding something to be thankful for. And she said, when I said those words, it was like it all started puking out of me. She said, I begin to praise the Lord for instant moments that begin to come to my mind. I begin to praise the Lord for memories of my mother. I begin to praise the Lord for every time I got to sing with my mama on the stage. For every time my mama prayed with me. For every moment I had with my mama. And she said, I can't explain it all. I can't write a book about it. But when I began to thank God for the moments with my mama, it was as if the Holy Ghost took away the bitterness and took away the anger. And took away the frustration, and God set me free. And I sat down on that bed and I noticed that my wife was a different woman than when I walked out. They say that when the sheep get on their back, the only way they'll ever get up is if the shepherd comes to where they are. Help me, Jimmy. They tell me that off in the distance, that shepherd will maybe be back at the farm or wherever he's resting that night. He'll go to counting them sheep. One by one, he'll go to counting them sheep. And he'll realize we're missing one. And you know the story how the shepherd would leave the 99 and on the mountaintop and over the ridges, down in the valleys, everywhere he'd been, he's looking for that lost sheep. Send that sheep with his call and with his voice would call out through those valleys and through those pastures. Off in the distance, they say those sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And off in the distance, there's a little sheep laying on its back that thinks it's just a matter of time until that wolf comes and eats it. There's a little sheep that thinks, I messed up. I came into this greener pasture. It's my fault. And I'll die here. You ever been in a way where you thought it was over before? You ever been in such a bad state that you sat on your back and thought, this is it? It's over. Only for off in the distance. Good God Almighty. Off in the distance, you hear a voice you've been longing to hear. You hear the voice of the shepherd. You hear the voice of your shepherd. And they said when that sheep hears that voice, that sheep would begin to bleed out and cry out. I like that because there's been days when my feet could not get back to where he was. There's been days when I could not walk back to where I needed to be. But I got good news for you. When you can't go to where he is, he can come to you. And they said that sheep would cry out. That sheep would bleed out after the shepherd. And over the valleys and over the mountaintops, that shepherd would locate that sound and would go to where that sheep was. Said he'd find that sheep. And that sheep would be there on its back. And that shepherd would grab it by its wool, pick it up, set it on its feet. And that shepherd understands that sheep can't just walk now. All the blood has ran to its back and its arms are numb. Said the heart of that sheep is anxious, scared to death. Said so that shepherd would wrap its arms around that sheep and begin to massage the legs of that sheep, trying to get the blood to go back in its muscles, to get it working again. I've been there before, ain't you? In such a way where you didn't know if everything was going to be all right, only for the Lord to come to where you are. Yeah. Say, it's going to be all right. Amen. It's going to be all right. They said if the shepherd couldn't get the sheep to walk, eventually that shepherd just put that sheep on its neck and take it back to the fold. That is what the shepherd does. I've been in places where I've been down and wonder if I was ever going to get back up. Come to church, put a shirt and tie on and smile on the outside, but on the inside be so cast down and so hurt and so confused that I didn't know if I was ever going to have a real smile ever again. I've walked behind pulpits and said, God, I don't need to be the one preaching. I need to be preached too. Only like this morning. See, y'all just have church. Y'all get to do it all the time. But I go preaching these dead churches all across country all week. And when I get somewhere like I was this morning, y'all know what I heard this morning? I heard the voice of my shepherd. Woo! I heard the voice of my shepherd. He said, I love you. You're going to be all right. You and your wife are going to be fine. You just keep on keeping on. And this morning was one of the moments where I felt like he picked me up. Loved on me. He said, go on, son. You're going to be fine. You may be cast down tonight, but you don't have to stay that way. You said, Brother C.T., I can't get back to where I was. That's okay. You don't have to. But you can cry back to where you used to be. Say, God, I can't come to you. Would you come to me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm done preaching.